We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm going to bring us back to our roots.
Fuck yeah.
That's the crack of Rain Dog.
Rain Dog.
Welcome to The Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sanson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sanson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. What a beautiful state.
It really, you know, give it up for Washington.
Everyone clap right now.
Fucking
clap for Washington.
We hear you. You're not clapping. We're in your living room right now, or your car.
Mm-hmm. Get you and your kids who shouldn't be listening to this
and start fucking clapping.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Screwball.
Cheers.
A whiskey with a little wiener dog ice cube in it.
Is Screwball the peanut butter one?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I thought it was like a classy drink. It turns out it's kind of like how Fireball is.
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like college girl whiskey.
Yeah. But I hadn't
and
heard about it until...
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
It just has such a fancy-looking bottle.
I feel like I absolutely would have drank that in college.
Yeah. I would hate it by now if I drank it in college,
though. Mean, I drank Fireball like it was water.
My dad went on a golf trip, and he came back from it. This was, like, 5 years ago. He came back from it, like... Have you ever heard of Fireball?
Like, yeah, Dad, that's what degenerates drink.
Well, that's what I was like, yeah, Dad, that's like a college drink. He's like, oh, I really like it. And he just kept a bottle of Fireball on hand at all times.
I love
for a
that
while.
When you do an impression of your dad, you don't do his accent.
Because I do. My British accent sucks.
I love that your British accent sucks.
Everyone expects
sucks
it to be good. Give me something
one.
To say.
Just say I love Fireball.
I love Fireball.
Give it, put some heart into it.
No, the issue is that I don't hear my dad's accent. It's also so watered down.
I suppose, I just, you know, he's been your dad your whole life.
Though. Yeah. I mean, he says some funny, like, things like aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say that
That's
sometimes.
That's fancy as fuck.
Aluminium and garage.
I love garage.
Me too.
The first time I heard garage, I was like, what the fuck is a garage?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, a garage.
Uh-huh. It's a garage for your carriage.
I wonder... what do you think sounds like fancier? Because garage, I guess it depends on how you say it.
Garage.
If you say garage.
Garage.
That's fancy. But if you say garage.
Garage. Yeah, garage. It's like Sandra and Sandra.
Oh,
Sandra.
I hate Sandra.
Sandra.
No offense if your name is Sandra or you love someone named Sandra.
Or like Ariana and Ariana.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Garage and garage.
One and the same. Tomato. I love to say tomato because That's people funny. Aren't expecting it.
That's funny. I just got back from therapy, y'all, so my
Congratulations.
Brain... Thank you. My God. Thank you so much, Liz.
We can hold hands this week.
Okay. Instead of feet?
Yeah.
Sick. Sorry, my hands are like a little clammy.
Hand content.
Only hands.
We're all... I like that. I'm a fan of a dumb pun.
Thank God. It would be so sad if you weren't, because that's like all I ever, I exclusively talk in dumb puns.
And that's why we're friends.
So I was in therapy and I was talking to my therapist about that conversation that we had on the podcast, I think 2 weeks ago.
When the one that pissed off all of the incels on TikTok.
Did it?
Yeah, weren't, didn't you see it?
No.
Which the one that where I said that men have like performative disgust.
Yeah, no, not that one.
They're like, no, it's not that deep. I'm like, it's not conscious thought, okay? It's being born into patriarchy.
Yeah, no offense, you're not really the deep police.
Yeah.
Brian. I don't know why Brian's my like the dick name that I go Brian. To. Like every Brian I know is lovely.
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to think of Brians I know and they're all great.
They're all fantastic.
I've never met a Brian I didn't like. And don't you come here and change my fucking mind, yeah, Brians.
Yeah, all you dickhead Brians. Stay the fuck away from Liz. You'll have to go through me.
I want to keep my Brian sentiment pure.
Yeah. Because if you don't have that, you have nothing.
And, yeah, exactly. I have my Brian sentiment and then nothing else. Nothing else going for me. Anyway,
so I was talking to her about the conversation that we were having where you brought up that men these days have their moms as like the image of like they were the first generation
mom
that
who
couldn't
does
work.
It all.
Yeah, the mom who, like,
especially
you
if you have a single mom.
Yeah, totally. And she was like, we were just like talking about that. And then she also brought up an interesting point, which when I was thinking about this in the car, I was like, I don't want to talk about this and sound like a men's rights activist. However, she was saying that she's been having to see good men adjust around that kind of like societal shift too, in the sense of like good men are wanting women to feel empowered to do whatever they want to do, but then they're not hardwired to have to also put up their end of the bargain.
Yeah, to be thinking about like all of the little side household responsibilities, like noticing what you're out of and then picking that up while you're at the grocery store.
Yes.
I do have to say, I love that Mr. Liz, like if he's like, what do you want for dinner? And he knows, especially if he knows I had a long day, he's like happy to make dinner.
Love that.
We take turns. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to decide what to make. And so he's like, okay, I'll make something.
King.
And then he gets everything and then comes back with it.
I love that.
He did try to put my spices out of alphabetical order once, but
jail.
It just took one polite reminder.
I love that.
I spent a lot of time putting all of our spices in little labeled jars.
I mean,
it was extra. It was extra.
Not having to search for a spice.
Mm-hmm. It's in alphabetical order.
Priceless.
Anyways, continue. Anyway,
so yeah, it's like the men having to adjust their like how they are with like buying things that like we're out of, or like noticing that the kitchen is dirty, like because they've not had to. Like societally, they don't have to think about it. They're not
expectation that they're raised to know that this is a shared responsibility.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was so interesting. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective of like men having to shift for how, because it was such a shift. It didn't like phase out of what it was.
I wonder how much of that also has to do with the internet and like the explosion of social media and the ability to see how people all over the world are living.
Yeah.
Because even our parents' generation didn't have is visibility into other lifestyles.
Yeah.
Not even just cultures. Like, yeah. Just visibility into, like, someone who's not religious. Like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my parents, you know, being raised like traditionally Catholic in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It just is what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You don't get to see, like, I'm sure if my parents met your parents, they'd be like, wow.
Yeah, right. That's so true. It's like, it really does. Everybody just kind of had access to what was, like, what their neighborhood was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also thought a lot about, well, I've been seeing a lot of people talking about how, like, current kids, like younger Gen Z and then like Gen Alpha or whatever, they don't have any tech literacy because it's not being taught to them.
Yeah.
We literally had a computer lab.
Mm-hmm.
We had computer classes where they, I hated doing the typing courses, but do I appreciate it now? Yes.
Did you use Mavis Beacon?
Yes.
I fucking slayed Mavis Beacon. I was done like 2 months before everyone else.
You're so fast at typing.
120
I can't
words
believe
per
how
minute.
Quickly you can text.
Thank you.
It's bananas.
Thank you. It, you know, things that I got bullied for, like how much time I spent on the computer. Look at me
having
now.
Having a big ass and typing quickly.
Yeah.
Having big ass types fast.
That's good. I wish I... I should put that on a shirt. We should put that. We should get merch back and running, up
just
and running.
Just be putting things on shirts.
Just phrases we've said. We just have like 3 of them each. You know? Just 3 for
my
sale.
My ass is fast, but my typing is faster.
Yeah.
Or my typing's fast, but my ass is faster.
My typing is fast, my ass is fat.
I like that a lot.
Hell yeah. Sick. Let us know if you would buy that.
My typing's fast and my ass is fat.
I would wear it. I would wear the fuck out of that. So that was the conversation I had in therapy that I wanted to talk to you about. It was just like a minor, little, not minor, a short thought that I just thought was interesting as a follow-up.
Yeah. Okay, so no one really talks about how men's fertility declines at the same rate as women's fertility. So like the quality of their sperm declines and like the effectiveness of it and how much sperm there is. And it's like, if you look at a chart side by side, they're very similar with the declining. So, I mean, even though a man can like still impregnate someone, it's not going to be quality or the best quality. And, another thing too, like when I was thinking about that, I was like, yeah, I guess like, I suppose they can reproduce for longer. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, okay. But women are born with all the eggs they'll ever have, first of all. And second of all, if men had to make an entire fucking being in their body at an old age, they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it just, I mean, that logically makes sense to me why, like, women aren't able to have kids when they're, you know, fucking 70.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I did hear a podcast. It's Daniel Tosh's podcast, which I actually highly recommend because it's really fucking funny. And it just made me like him even more as a person. But the first episode is with his wife's gynecologist.
Yes, you've talked about
Dr. this. Dr. Finke, which what a great name.
That's amazing.
And he's a gay gynecologist. And he's like, yeah, it's a big topic at gay parties. Anyways.
Gynecologist.
He said that he had a patient who was like in her 60s who gave birth. I think either 50s or 60s.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's like Janet Jackson.
I mean.
Janet Jackson had a baby in her 50s.
I just wonder like what the, not what the health risk to the baby is necessarily, because we are aware of that. But what are the health risks to that woman, you know? Women die in childbirth every day.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would expect there to be more health risks, but also, like, so much harder to keep up with the kid. Mm. Like,
on the opposite end of that, because I don't want anyone to feel discouraged in case they do want to have kids in their 40s or they have had kids in their 40s. I saw a Reddit thread of people talking about how much they loved having a mom in their 40s or how much they loved being a mom in their 40s.
Oh, interesting.
Just because, like, how you are as a person in when you're 40 versus in your 20s, like you have a completely different self assurance as an adult in your 40s than you do in your 20s, you know? So there is like some people were saying like their mom was just like a much better parent.
Oh yeah, my mom was an amazing mom. And is an amazing mom.
But that does make sense, you know. You
with
don't
the energy
have the
levels.
Same
But also it's like having like living my friends that had kids when they were like in their mid 20s were like, yeah, I'm going to be like taking vacations because my kids will be out of the house and like you guys are going to be going to like PTA conferences. Like it was kind of like one of those.
Oh, a rub it things. In your face.
Yeah. And it was like, OK, I can see that. Heard. And like
but
you live your life
have
on
made
the
money.
Yeah. And also
more.
Like lived that, like, you know, it doesn't really matter because you're like getting life out of both ends of it.
That's so true. Yeah. Like the comparison doesn't really need
no,
to.
No, it just isn't equal.
Yeah.
Potato, potato.
Matter. Yeah, exactly. Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Take that tater and shove it up your potato.
Yeah. That's going on a shirt.
Take that potato and shove it up your potato.
And only y'all will know what that means.
And
I don't think I do.
We'll only sell it in Idaho.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to what I had originally said. I just thought it was interesting that, like, that is never a topic of conversation.
The quality of sperm?
Yeah, just that, like, the declination is at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
And no
declination.
One...
Declination.
I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it.
That's
but
a great
it sounds
word.
Right, and yeah. It feels right.
I love it.
But I also don't even know if that's a word. But I said it with confidence.
It will be used in all of my
sentences.
So
I hope everyone takes the word declination. And well, now I'm going to look it
up. It's going to be... It's the SAT word of the day.
But I just... Like, no one ever talks about that. And I think, too, it's because it's used as a thing to fearmonger younger women into having kids. And I also think it's another thing that people will try and shove in women's faces to make them feel bad.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, okay, well, you also don't even know if that person wants to have kids.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing.
First of all.
Yeah. But, you know, like, a woman's worth is...
And but also, like, you can't reproduce without an egg, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a man will need a woman to have a kid in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether or not you're adopting kids or you have a surrogate or just a partner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a woman doesn't really necessarily need a man in their life at all.
No.
You could just go have a sperm donor.
That's like Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. She just is about to have her second baby via sperm donor.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And that's like the first time, at least in recent like pop culture, that's been a conversation that people have had. Like, she's single and she's like, I still want another kid. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have another kid, which we've talked about a lot in the past.
Yeah.
So I just think that's interesting.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This is kind of in the same vein. Have you heard of the 4B movement in Korea?
No.
So the 4B movement is a radical feminist movement that originated in South Korea in 2019. The movement's acronym stands for I'm sorry, I don't know how to say any of these words. They're Korean. And I'm not going to attempt it because that would, I feel like it would just be offensive. But it means refusing to engage in heterosexual marriage, childbirth, romance, and sexual relationships.
Hell yeah.
And the women in Korea are doing this because of how men treat women in Korea. Like, it's kind of terrifying. Sorry, let me find an example. I saw something else about it, or I was reading about it a while back. I can't believe I didn't bring this up before the first time.
I think you did.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, but...
Okay, well, so... Okay, this is from The Cut. In Korea's patriarchal society, in which women are generally expected to defer to their fathers and to adhere to rigid beauty standards, she felt like a perpetual victim, obsessed by the wrongs done to her by her father and pressured into maintaining her appearance in order to please men. In South Korea, there were cases of femicide, revenge porn, dating violence is widespread, and then a huge surge in spy cam sex crimes. Just like really egregious, like non-consensual assault and harassment and exploitation of women, just more than you can even imagine right now. And so women, like so many women are, participating in this movement of like refusing to adhere to these beauty standards that are unrealistic and to cohabitate, I don't know, to even just have a life with men in any capacity. So and they have like one of the lowest birth rates in the world.
Damn.
And I mean, it's, I know it's extreme, but I just also think that the more rights that are taken away from women, the closer we get to an extremist experience like that.
Yeah.
Because the more you take rights away from women, the easier it is for people to objectify women.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because when you're less of a person
mm-hmm.
legally, then it's easier to treat you as such.
And
societally,
even just like, you know, I'm sure you saw the TikTok of that girl who's like, I'm not a feminist.
Ugh. Yeah, I can wear dresses and feel pretty.
I don't feel pretty when I wear a dress. I feel fucking hot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, but anyways, I just think like, sure, maybe she wants to be subversive. Maybe women who think that way want to be subversive. But I don't think that they, in practice, realistically understand how horrible their lives would truly be.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you just, this is also kind of extreme. Even if you think about war, the things that men will do to women and children during war, those war crimes are horrific.
Mm-hmm.
You would be lucky to be a man because you'd just be killed.
Mm-hmm.
But for women and children,
yeah,
the atrocities are,
yeah,
horrifying.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about like those women that have like the trad wife kind of like mentality. I would imagine for the most part, all that they've been modeled is that. So it's like the thought of doing anything outside of that is like egregious.
Emily Mariko has this huge platform. So she's a TikTok creator. Have you seen any of Emily Mariko's videos?
I've seen like clips.
It's a lot of like homemaking related stuff, but she like has an impressive background. She like really think about why her platform and presence is being boosted and circulated so much when she is basically acting out homemaking responsibilities. And I just think that is so interesting.
Yeah.
But
is she like the trad wife mentality, or is she just like a homemaker? I think that's the difference.
I mean, she had like a successful career and background. Hold on, let me find it. She has a bachelor's degree in neuroscience.
Jesus.
And just, let me see. Okay. She attended Columbia University in New York, graduated in 2014 with a Bachelor of Arts in Neuroscience, And then she started working at L'Oreal in the product development and global marketing. And then she changed career paths, moving to San Francisco and working for Facebook, which those of you who don't work in tech, it is very hard to get a job at Facebook or Meta mm-hmm. or Google, Amazon. I think Microsoft's probably the easiest, but like, I mean, they might as well be Ivy Leagues of jobs.
Yeah.
And the fact that she had this arguably successful and impressive history, like with her education, and she, I think she also probably come, I don't know this for sure. I think I heard this, but comes from money,
mm-hmm.
but still the fact that she has all of this opportunity and she has found the most success creating homemaking content is, I think that just says a lot, like, about our culture in America
yeah.
and how things are kind of changing
in terms of like,
this is what her most successful career has been.
Has, oh yeah.
You can be a well-educated woman and have like impressive jobs and not be recognized for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start, you could just be pretty and start making healthy meals and people will celebrate you.
Yeah. That's also, I think, too, a function of like just influencer culture in general. Like
the trad wife thing is a little scary to me.
It's terrifying. But then it's also like, then there are some homemakers that just genuinely enjoy being a homemaker. And
oh, yeah.
they are just like so successful in other realms, but they just like are so happy just like making a home.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's going to be me, hopefully, one day. Like, I would love to like be a stay-at-home mom. I would love to. It's obviously, everybody says this and it sounds like a cliche, but it's like one of the hardest jobs ever.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that like the idea of that is being so clouded by trad wives, because it's like they're.
I
whole
think
thing is like focused on
being a trad wife,
being a trad wife and doing it for men.
Yes. I was going to say, I think the focus of trad wives too, like they're making it about being a trad wife and how they're superior
yeah.
to other women who don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I said last episode, like if you want to be in a traditional relationship, like fucking go for it.
Yeah.
But I think another thing that's really interesting that I also don't see a lot of people talking about is like, okay, so you have all of these trad wife girls and you have all of these single men who are like, I want a traditional woman, blah, blah, blah. Why aren't these people getting together? You know?
Yeah.
And I just think that that's not actually what it's about. I think that, those men who say that they want like a traditional housewife woman don't actually want that. I think that they want to have a relationship with someone who's maybe more feminist and liberal like us
mm-hmm.
and kind of break them.
Yeah.
And get them to like force them to submit to them.
Yeah. But
I think that's more so what it's about. It's about forcing submission and less about finding, you know, like a fucking girl like Pearl. Why aren't any of these like podcast bros complaining about women all the time? Why aren't they the ones also dating like the women who are like pick me's echoing that message?
Yeah, because yeah, the issue is that they hate women.
You both allegedly have the same values.
Yeah.
Why aren't you together?
Right. Yeah.
Why are you making it everyone else's problem?
Yeah. I mean, all of them are just so unfuckable. That's why. They don't even want to fuck each other.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I still think Pearl is gay, but... Yeah, trust me. In like 10 years, she's going to be like, I'm sorry about what I said. Also, I'm gay.
Also, every time I think...
Like, I know. You look like yeah. a fucking basketball player.
We've been saying.
We know.
Every time I think of her, my teeth hurt. Like, it's like I get like a visceral somatic response to Pearl. It's just like, what are you doing, sister? Clickbait.
Well, I think that also another thing that is very interesting that is kind of like an indicator of how things are, is how many creators are leaning into this like alt-right content creation, even if they don't believe it, because it's easy to sell out.
Oh, absolutely.
They're, like, you, even if that's not something that they believe, it's just like, okay, well, I'm getting paid for it.
Yeah. I mean, if you like people that are like grifters, they, you just pick the one thing that is so polarizing and you lean all the way into it. I truly believe that the majority of the people, like you're saying, that are leaning in that kind of direction don't like really believe what they're saying. Like, I think Andrew Tate is the biggest piece of shit on the planet, but I feel like even he leans even heavier in because he, because it works.
Yeah. He's a grifter.
Yeah.
I also think that this online polarization doesn't exist so much in real life.
No.
But it's easy if you're online all the time and you're a young person online all the time and the news is also so polarizing, you're going to feel that way when you're walking around in the world.
Totally.
But I think that we're overlooking like how kind people actually are. I don't know, anytime I interact with people outside of my home, like everyone is so nice,
yeah,
and ready to be helpful and wants to be helpful.
Yeah.
And it's getting overlooked because we're all just like staring at our phones and obsessing over the things that we have such little control over.
Yeah.
And screaming at each other.
Right. I mean, everyone's so mighty behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, these people that are so nice to you in the grocery store might be going home and like getting on Twitter and like yelling at people for stupid shit. Cause it's like everybody, it changes people. The shit that I say online, I would never say to someone's face, you know, like, yeah. I mean, maybe I would, but like when I'm like, you know, telling it as it is, regardless of whether or not I really only say things that I like strongly stand in that conviction and believe in. And I would never say it to someone's face. So it's just like, it just changes people when you're behind a keyboard or behind a phone. But also ads have like completely fucked everybody's lives up because these social media platforms have built their entire structure around keeping people on the app.
Elon is desperate for
to
money.
Make ad money.
Desperate.
So it's pulling people deeper into echo chambers because it's trying to keep people on the apps. So then they're getting ads that fit them, and that way these platforms make money off of advertisers.
Yeah.
It's this like horrible cycle that has like put us in this post-truth era.
It feels like everything online is idiocracy. It's just that, but online. Because in our day-to-day life, you know, as I go about my life in the world off of my phone, it's very different.
Yeah.
And it's hard to remember that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just anytime I'm on Twitter, I would absolutely be fully off Twitter if I didn't have to be on it for work. And anytime I'm on it, first of all, I'm mad that I have to be on it. And then second of all, it just is like, it's a dumpster fire. Like, that's exactly, imagine a dumpster fire. Have you seen that gif of the dumpster that's on fire and it's floating down a flood?
Yeah.
That is exactly what Twitter is like now.
Yeah, it really is. And Threads is becoming that too. I was on Threads last night and like,
oh,
you know, on Twitter.
They love sharing like inflammatory stuff on Threads. Yeah.
And also like you know,
this in my feed
Twitter, you see a video and you go to the comments, the replies to like get
context. And all of the replies are other memes.
Yeah, that's how Threads is now. It's so disappointing.
And Blue Sky waited too long to jump on.
Yeah, I've lost interest.
Yep. I don't even know how it works, to be honest.
I know, I texted you I didn't know how to find you.
I don't know how to find anybody either.
Yeah,
I don't,
like
well anyways,
anyway, speaking of being online and having perceptions, that brings me to what I wanted to show you. Do you know who Donut Daddy is?
No.
Oh my, I'm sure you've seen his videos. I want to get your...
I don't know. You and I are on two very different sides of TikTok.
Well, this is about to make you look at me differently if this is what my For You page is showing me, but
I'm scared. Just going to chug my Rainier.
Okay, this is Donut Daddy. I want to get your
live
honest
reaction.
Live reaction to, I'm going to show you this video, and then when it's over, just scroll to the next one, because that's the next one I want you to see. It's just two that I want to show you, because you'll okay. get the idea. And then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to describe what I'm seeing. It's a man in a very deeply unbuttoned shirt. He's got a gold chain. Look at what I paused it on.
Yeah.
He had a donut, and he was just, like, covering it in icing. Oh, he just squeezed a donut with filling in it. Oh, my God. He's, like, fisting the dough. He's doing some unnecessary flexing. He looks like his name is Gio.
His name's Anthony.
Ew, he's fingering the donut.
Yeah.
And he's licking the icing like... I see, okay, I've seen content like this before, and I fucking hate these men.
I know.
With a passion.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I like food porn that's like just of the food.
Right.
I don't like seeing you fuck the food.
Yeah.
Okay? Stop playing with your food like that. I hate this shit. And it has almost a million likes.
It has 8 million views on it.
Half a million comments. 100,000 saves.
Oh, God. What are y'all doing with those saves?
The comments are, the way my smile faded. How is he violating ingredients? Why did he put his face in it? It just kept getting more absurd. What, 50 shades of dough.
Did he use the mixer, the KitchenAid mixer in that one?
No, he didn't.
Okay, I think that's the next one.
He was too busy fisting the dough right. to use the mixer. This one says, I have so many questions. Thumbs up.
That's a great comment.
Sir, can I please just have my donut? The mixer slap was unnecessary.
Okay, so he does have the mixer. There's.
I just was so distracted by all the other assault.
He like pushes the mixer down like it's giving him head.
Ew.
I know. It's a whole movement that he does. It's everything is so overtly sexual.
Chat, is this real? Why did he sniff it?
Oh, God.
Ew. This comment said, sir, did you really just do that to the dough? And then he replied, the dough begged me to. Get the fuck off this app.
Oh, my God.
I wonder how many people like this because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch the next okay. one. Why is he unbuttoning his shirt for the... Ew! He did the head thing. Okay, he's slapping the dough like he's smacking an ass, and then he spread the dough like he's spreading cheeks. His arms are veiny, but not in a hot way.
Yeah, he's like dehydrated.
Ew, he's squeezing the lime. Why does he do that with the egg yolks? Honestly, like you try, like you food fucking all these donuts. It's not appealing. It's upsetting.
What are the comments saying?
You think he edits these and goes, oh yeah, they'll love that. And he liked it.
See, I don't know if he's in on the joke.
Allegedly, there are moms in the comments thirsting over this guy.
I would imagine.
These moms are like, I haven't been cream pied like that in years.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the idea of a man cooking for her.
That could also be true.
Yeah.
I need to see an actual thirsty comment because I'm not seeing one. I'm just seeing there's one from a man, a verified chef. And he said, and now I'm pregnant. Sir, it's 7 a.m.
Smirk?
Smirk face. Thank you. And then it's the eye, lip biting eye. Victoria, what are you up to, girl?
Victoria, what? It's 7 a.m. Chill
You're
out.
A little thirsty.
Victoria.
Ew, this one says, yes, please.
Oh, my God.
Jules.
So this is my thing. I wonder... Like, okay, A, I think he's in on it because...
Oh, obviously.
Like, in on, like, it being ridiculous. I mean, I know that he's obviously in on it being, like, a thirst trap, but he has to know that it's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, I wonder...
Imagine you went to school with this guy.
Oh, my God.
I would be fucking dying. Oh. I would be sending this shit to all of my friends, and I'd be like, remember that guy from high school? Well, he just got weirder. Like, you know this guy was fucking weird in high school. You know it.
It's just so... I feel like there are some TikTok chefs that do what he does, but they're not so obvious about it.
I think he just was also like, okay, I love making donuts. I'm really good at it. I also love going to the gym. And then he saw someone else fucking their food on TikTok. There's nothing, no other way I can describe it.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is a lot. This is providing a lot of shock value, but it's also getting a lot of attention. And then I can get more attention to my business.
Yeah. And it's working. Not,
yeah. I mean, raunch,
we're talking about him.
Raunch is always going to have appeal.
Yeah.
For the shock value and just because some people are fucking horny.
Yeah. But like there's a piece of it that makes me think. And, you know, above all else, this man is an intellectual.
I'm like, is he dumb as fuck or is he brilliant?
I feel like...
Let's get this man on the podcast.
I would love nothing more than that, like, honestly.
First of all, why?
Yeah.
Why?
You know what? We should shoot our shot. We should try to get him on. I'm going to do it.
Guys, everyone reply to this if you want Donut Daddy to be on the pod. No,
can you guys slide into Donut Daddy's DMs and tell him to be on the Holy Hour? Because
no,
that
he's
going to
listen
so
and hear me just talking shit about him.
But I think that he's in on it. I think this dude knows what he's doing.
He has to be.
But so
I think the first guy who did it was intentionally doing it.
Yeah.
I think that he wasn't in on it. I think he was legit like, oh,
this
I'm going to.
So hot. There are some very hot TikTok creators that cook and that's it, and I'm like, this is porn.
Have you seen the guy who's always chopping vegetables?
Yes, and he has a toothpick in his mouth.
He's so fucking annoying.
Chill,
it's because
out, Liz.
One time someone was like, you look like the guy from The Bear, and he was like, I'm gonna put on an apron and do the damn thing.
I think that we're talking about, no, I think
okay,
we're talking
about
two different guys. Okay, I was about to go to bat for this
well,
man, I don't know.
This guy just says the most basic ass shit. He's like, women deserve respect, chop, chop, chop. And then the comments are like, oh my God, yes, king.
Yeah, but think about what that says about our society. And that's what makes me, women will watch men cooking because men don't typically cook. Like, it's a lot of moms that are
but
like,
is that even true? Because when you
not here.
Go to a restaurant, chefs are all men.
Right. But no, but men aren't cooking for their wives. I mean, it's like a whole like
they'll
I
cook
mean,
for their job, but they won't cook for
right.
their family.
It's the woman. It's an expectation that the woman cooks. And that's why I think there's so many moms thirsting over this guy, because they're like, oh, my God, like he.
Yeah, they grew up in the era of where they're doing everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
so it's like
mentioned.
This dude could be doing that shit cleaning and it would hit the same. But also, I think it would hit
the
same.
Do you think I want to see a man grilling doing this?
I bet that.
But I want it to be gay. I'm putting the call out there. OK, I want a man who grills. But I want it to be sexy, but I want it to be gay. I want it to be for gay guys.
I would consume that. Like,
yeah, hot dogs, easy,
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 easy.
You heard it here first. Okay,
what else could it be? What else besides hot dogs?
I don't know. Get
zucchini.
Creative. Yep,
grill some zooks
and even like skewers.
Oh,
so many things you put on the grill are already phallic.
That's
and I
so
think
true.
That is by design, you know?
Yeah,
because
right, why do you think men are always standing over a grill talking to each other? Dick-shaped food.
Well, no, the men stand around the grill talking to each other so they can mansplain how to grill to other men.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, that one's getting done.
Yeah, you should flip that
and let me do it.
Yeah, hold on, have you thought of this before? Do it.
What I like to do is I like to marinate my meat, and then their wives are inside getting drunk.
Yeah,
everyone's getting drunk
talking
to
about
be honest.
The pool boy that they're fucking.
To be honest, the barbecues are fun.
Yeah, and that's a
they're
hot
lots.
Take
Yeah,
from hot take.
Do you
take?
Have a backyard?
Yeah.
Do you have a grill?
No.
We should grill.
Okay.
We'll get you a grill.
I had a grill at my last place. I used it a total of a time.
What if, I'll get a grill and put it on our tiny ass balcony. I actually think I'm not allowed to do that. What if I get a mini grill and put it on the balcony?
Like a little George Foreman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Lean, mean, fat grilling machine.
Yeah.
Did you know? I did not know George Foreman was a boxer.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right. You would think that this man would have been a chef. If anybody wants to slap my name on a thing.
Yeah, that has the potential to just blow up.
Yeah. If you want to make a new kind of tiny grill and you need someone to attach to it.
I'm Amelia Samson.
I'm your grill.
Zing. Okay. Wait, did I interrupt something? Or no. Was there another thing you wanted to show me?
No, it was just those two Donut Daddy videos I wanted to talk about.
Donut Daddy, guys.
This.
Look him up.
He only has like 445,000 followers. I was expecting that man to have like 4 million followers.
Million?
Easily. Because I've like seen so many people talking about him.
You're the first person I've seen.
And the production value on those videos.
It is good production value.
Fuck around. Dude was had a film major and a dream.
I bet he has like a brother who's like in film school or something.
Yeah, weird. Can you imagine his brother being the one to film those?
It's like, okay, maybe his dude, boyfriend does it.
Spread the dough apart like butt cheeks and shove your face in it.
I hope he's... It would be cool if he was gay. I just want everyone to be gay.
You know,
should we...
They might be.
Read... End with reading an email? Because yeah. We got a few emails that we didn't get to...
Love it.
Last week.
Take it away, Liz.
The subject line is dating advice after a long relationship. Hi, ladies. I'm a big fan of the pod and am excited to have a chance to email you, although not excited for the reason, so I'll jump right in. I've been with my wife for 14 years since we were both 17. Wow. That is a long time.
It's a long time.
Recently, we have decided to separate as she has realized she's actually queer. This means I have to start dating again, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Any advice you can give? What apps should I get on? What should I put in my profile? How/when do I bring up my situation? What concerns are best? What condoms are best? Sorry. I'm reading this from far away. would be greatly appreciated. Some background on me, 32 male, never dated anyone besides my wife. We have a 6-year-old, so my time is pretty limited. I've got a touch of the tism and more than a touch of ADHD. Thanks for all you both do.
Okay, this is a great question.
Good context.
It's also, like you said at the beginning of this, you have no idea what you're doing with dating. Nobody does, which I know is like one of those things that when I was dating and I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Whenever anybody would be like, nobody does, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. That doesn't help me. But like, It also does kind of like, it eased me a little bit because I dated a ton and I went on a ton of dates and I never stopped being nervous for a date. So it's like,
yeah, first dates are just nerve wracking in general.
They are. So it's like once you realize like everybody's nervous, it kind of takes away like a little bit of like the pressure of it.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that,
I'm going to start at the top by saying if you set up a date with somebody, don't bail. Bail because you're nervous.
No,
don't flake because you're just like, I don't feel like doing this because I feel that way about so many things, but I know once I'm doing it, I'm going to have fun.
Totally. And even though you stay nervous before dates, every date you go on gets a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just like it's a muscle. Your question about what apps you should be on, it really depends on what you're trying to do. There's like a gazillion apps now, but I think that the main ones that like are the tried and true are Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge.
Yeah. Tinder is for fucking. Tinder is also like just like the underbelly of dating apps.
Yeah.
At least I stopped using Tinder when I like got back on dating apps because I was like, this is trash.
Yeah.
And then Bumble I felt like was fine.
Yeah.
But the best, like the most quality dates that I went on were from Hinge.
Yeah.
And I think it also probably depends on where you are.
Yeah.
In America.
Totally.
Or whatever country.
Yeah. Bumble is the only app of like the main ones that aren't owned by Match Group, and Match Group is pretty problematic in like how they run their business. They're being sued right now.
Oh.
Because like
they probably deserve it.
They absolutely do. I mean, it's like their whole thing is like they have subscription models around like Hinge, for example.
Oh, yeah.
The app that's designed to be deleted should not have a 6-month option for their subscriptions, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's very clearly not trying to get people off the app because they're all money making companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my mega piece of advice would be like, if you're gonna spend money on any of these apps, don't pump a whole lot of money into them. I know like for Hinge you have to like buy extra roses, which like
I don't think you should spend money on any of these fucking dating apps.
I've had some friends that have, and it's helped them.
So were they
like men? They're all men.
I was gonna say
they're all men.
How do they identify?
Yeah.
Well, here's why I think you shouldn't spend money, because I think you can put the time into having like a good enough profile that you can go on a date from it. Because
totally.
I think that so many dudes on apps just have such like flop profiles that it's
yeah.
easy for you to stand out.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we can also lead with Amelia's advice, which is it's called the About Me. So talk about yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Like don't list out what you don't want. It's the,
yeah.
So
I would say don't even list out like what you do want.
Yeah. Talk about
unless
yourself.
Unless it's like Hinge, you have the option to be like, I want kids.
Yeah.
Or I have kids. So I think, yeah, being super upfront about like, yeah, I have a kid and they're six. Right off the bat. And because you're going to weed out people who suck.
Yeah.
Or
people that aren't ready
I
to
guess,
be step-parents.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess I don't want to judge people who aren't ready to be a parent. That's fine. But you'll be able to easier identify the people who are okay with that.
Totally.
And I also think starting out, like I would say maybe not while messaging saying you're like recently divorced. I think that's a good first date conversation.
I agree.
And also I think mention like explaining like, yeah, I haven't dated anybody else. Like I was only with my wife and she discovered she's queer and like, that's why we're separated. And, you know, I'm assuming you like it. Obviously it sucks when a relationship ends, but also like you want your wife to be able to explore this side of herself that she hadn't gotten to explore before.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. There's like a power in that.
Yeah. So I think explaining that is like a good entry conversation, but you don't need to over explain. I would just also be like honest if they have any other questions, any follow up questions.
Yeah.
Know?
Totally.
I mean, I guess you also don't need to lead with that in a first date. I would say within the first three dates, you need to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Date one, though, you need to talk about the kid. You need to be like,
yeah,
I have a kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think like, too, there's probably, it would surprise you how many women are in a similar position. Like,
uh-huh.
That have either been in a relationship since high school, even if they weren't married, and they're just now getting back into dating, or like they've been through a bad breakup, or like they're a widow, or
yeah. I think honestly, by the time you're in your 30s, I feel like we've all kind of been in, we've all had our own wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Love is a battlefield.
Fuck, this
we've
is
all
beautiful.
We've all fought our own battles in dating.
Yeah.
So everyone's got their past traumatic experiences.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm thinking also from my perspective, I would think it's like both endearing and a little intimidating that this person has only been with one person since they were a teenager.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So also maybe like play the field a little bit because you haven't dated anyone besides your wife.
Yeah, right.
Instead of like jumping back in and trying to get into a serious relationship.
Totally. Yeah. So maybe Tinder
just
is the
like,
place for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on what you're looking for. If you're just looking for hooking up, then yeah, Tinder.
Yeah.
But I also think just like being like, I'm dating around because I haven't dated since I was literally 17. So I'm just trying to like navigate this new experience. I think that's totally fine.
Absolutely.
Like I'm not trying to rush into anything. I'm trying to figure out what I want.
I also think if I was dating a guy that had been married, like I would kind of love that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I have so much respect for
totally.
That.
Like you're a wife guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not ready to hump, like I almost just said hump back into that, but
hop. I
mean, you are ready to hump back into that. But if you're not ready to jump back into a relationship, even still, like there's a level of respect. Not, mm-hmm. This isn't for everyone. There are married men that are complete dickholes, but like there's a level of respect that you have because you've like built a life with somebody that like men that have just been dating, like they don't have that kind of experience of building a life with somebody. So I think like sure you might be like a little
that's
like lost
such a good point.
And not know like what to do, but you also are coming into this from like a place of strength that not a lot of men have.
Yeah.
So give yourself a little bit of grace there.
I think that is such a good point. I hadn't even considered of like, okay, yeah, maybe you have some blind spots because you haven't dated since you were 17. Mm-hmm. But also you have the experience of being in a marriage.
Yeah.
And knowing what it takes to be in a marriage.
Yeah.
Which also gives you even more insight as to like how to do that, which mm-hmm. I think I don't know. There are so many guys who will just absolutely panic at the thought totally. Of anything becoming just a little bit serious.
Absolutely. There's also like the other side of that, though. That's like, I'm sure that you're going to run into. I know I ran into it when I started dating after an 8-year relationship, was like expecting everybody to act the same as my ex, like everybody to like,
oh,
like you have built a life with this person. And so you might run into the idea that like, you know, oh, well, she did it this way, or like, this is how we would operate as a unit. Like those expectations are going to have to shift because everybody's different and everyone's coming into a relationship with different mm-hmm. experiences. So like not, you know, like getting like let down by people not conducting their lives in the way that you're used to them conducting them. Like you're going to have to kind of like tear all of those, that expectation apart, because you haven't dated around like you had, like you just haven't, you've been used to one person for so long, mm-hmm. which is understandable. Like I said, I dealt with that. I was like, oh, people, not everybody just like talks to me how my ex talked to me, or not everybody like planned dates how my ex planned them. Like that was a shock to the system because I hadn't dated anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So like having to do that kind of re-expectation setting is kind of like a tough spot.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't considered that either.
Yeah.
I also want to say like go into it with an open mind and with the mindset of like I'm not trying to find my soulmate necessarily.
Yeah.
And then if you do meet someone that you get along with really well and you like each other, like don't let that mindset hold you back from enjoying that relationship and investing in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like listen to your gut. If your gut is like, I really like this person and I want to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Then do that.
Totally.
Don't be like, well, Liz and Amelia said to keep an open mind and not to put all my eggs in one basket.
I feel like we could be great.
Date around.
Listen to this podcast called The Holy Hour.
Yeah, no. The other thing I was going to say, actual like tangible dating app advice, photos, no mirror selfies.
No.
Don't have a mirror selfie. Don't have just a selfie. I feel like those are awkward.
Yeah.
I really like photos where it's just them, you know, have some pictures that are just you that a friend obviously took.
Yeah. Like you in your environment, you doing something that you love doing.
Yeah. And if you have friends in your photos with you, or like, yeah, if there's other people in the photos with you, make sure your first photo is just of you.
Yeah.
So then they know, and the other pictures like, oh, it's this guy.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And he has friends. This is great.
I've run into so many instances on dating apps where it's like, it's a guy and his friend or friends in every photo. And I'm having to play like, where's Waldo?
I
like, what is the common
shit.
Denominator in this? Which one is you? Which one is this guy? Like, it's impossible. And then I just say,
I wonder if they just don't even think about that.
Probably
like,
not.
They can't tell.
Yeah.
Who I am.
Right.
Yeah. I also think like quality pictures, like,
yeah,
like, not grainy,
yeah,
or blurry.
Yeah.
You want some regular pictures.
Totally.
Yeah. I also feel like anytime I would see like a dude selfie, like where you're just holding out the phone and taking a selfie, they always like look a little awkward.
Yeah.
But in different ways. Like there's some where it's just straight up kind of awkward and you're like, yeah, it is weird taking a picture of yourself. And then there's some where they're like trying to be sexy and then you're like, oh, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like that you posed for this for some reason.
Yeah. I mean,
and then posted it on your profile.
And like, there's also, I'm sure people are like, well, what the fuck is, I don't go out and do anything, but set up self timer.
Yeah.
Just don't hold out the phone. Cause that really, it does. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to hold up the phone and take a selfie.
Just
like,
set up a timer.
Go outside.
You're going to have time anyways now to hang out with your pals, so
yeah,
have your pals take some pictures of you, and just be like, hey, do you mind snapping some photos of me here? I don't know,
I'm just trying to make a dating app.
Yeah some candid pictures. I think I don't know, I wouldn't think that was weird.
No,
if someone was like, I need to update my dating profile and I don't have any like good pictures to post. Can you help me out tonight?
Yeah.
I would be so into that shit.
Totally. Yeah. Maybe if you have female friends too, because mm-hmm. I know like,
oh, girls are the ones you want to ask to yeah. help you, to be honest. Yeah.
100%.
How weird would it be if he asked his wife?
She might be into helping him. I mean, she might maybe. Be. Yeah. That's really funny.
I think that would sting a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's just the advice I have. Yeah. And I think also putting some thought into your answers in the prompts.
Yeah.
And not like one word answers or lazy answers or something cliche.
I really love when I would see prompts where like there would be a question kind of associated with it to like start the conversation. Like, I'm looking for like the best cake recipe, like any recommendations, like that kind of thing.
To, oh, like, something that opens the conversation.
Yeah. Because like, yeah. especially on Hinge, because you have to either like something or reply to something that somebody wrote, like that just it makes it easier for people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just always would respond to shit like that.
And if you're ever like, what should I not say? Follow Unhinged on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because they post just the dumb shit people say.
Or Amelia Samson.
Yeah. Or Amelia Samson.
I don't know if you've heard of her.
She post content of what not to put on your profile.
Yeah.
And as for actually setting updates and like starting conversations, I would say maybe have like some back and forth, just a little bit, and then maybe some texting. But I would not, before you even meet them, even before the third date, like don't be hitting them up all the time. You don't need to have all these text conversations. I think that it's so much better to just like wait until you're in person on the date.
That's
like,
yeah.
By the time I even met Mr. Liz, I was like, let's not fucking, I don't want to text you all day. I don't know you.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to feel obligated to have a conversation with you because I've never met you.
Yep.
And I would rather just like meet you in person.
And also like, I don't want to run out of shit to talk about before I meet you.
I think I made that mistake kind of early on after getting out of a relationship because I was just used to texting my ex every day.
I was about to say that. That might be something that the writer of this email falls into.
I mean, maybe. Well, because when you live, do you text Frank all day, every day?
No, unless I like miss him.
Now that Mr. Liz and I live together, I like never text him.
Yeah.
If
right.
you looked through our text, you'd be like, do they even like each other? Because we don't text each other back because we're like, well, I'll see you in like an hour.
Right. Yeah. We only text each other when we like need something.
Yeah. During the workday. Some days we'll text more during the workday, but like most of the time we're working. I'm not
right.
Like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
When we first started dating though.
Yeah.
Like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, thinking about me?
We're now obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
I definitely would save the texting for like later.
Yeah.
I my advice is to just like talk a little bit to make sure they're normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can make sure you're normal.
And
normal, I just mean not a misogynist serial killer.
Yeah.
And normal for women. I guess I don't know what kind of like, I don't know what it's like dating women on dating apps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know what they do that could be alarming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know women's red flags on dating apps is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I feel like what I see a lot of men complaining about is like how many bots are on dating apps. Like we don't like dating men. I never ran into that, but I guess it's a really big problem.
That's so true.
But
well, I mean, they probably want, I mean, I'm sure some of those bots are like scammers and I'm sure some of them are because people want them to stay on the app wants them to be staying on the app.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So they like let them
it on. Goes all the way to the top.
Yeah, no, I think like my bottom line advice would be to be yourself. If they ask to see your social media, send it to them. Because there are a lot of dudes that I would be like, can I see your Instagram before we go out? And they'd be like, sure. But whenever they were like, absolutely, I'm like, this guy's getting his dick sucked for sure. Like, thank you for respecting my safety.
Yeah, I was also thinking about that. Like, there might be some things to keep in mind because women are definitely considering their safety. So, like, first three dates, should be in a public place.
Yeah. Yes.
Agreed. And yeah, if they ask to see your social media, make sure you can share that with them so mm-hmm. they can verify that you're a real person.
Yeah.
And what else?
Don't get discouraged because like women are always so inundated on these dating apps that like it happened too often to me that I'd be talking to someone and then I would get like a bunch of matches and then that conversation would sink and I would just never talk to that person again.
Yeah.
So just like don't be discouraged if like it doesn't work out right away.
Yeah, you could also bubble. That's why I think you should like chat a little bit and then as soon as you can be like, hey, I don't really like messaging on the apps. I know that you're probably bombarded with messages. And how about we just like get drinks on this day?
Yeah.
And I would say Wednesday, Thursday is a good date night. Like, let's grab drinks.
Yes.
Because it's a lot to be like, hey, can I have your Friday or Saturday
night?
Oh
my God, and we don't know each other. Ask me for their, oh my, I'm like, that's prime real estate.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday. Perfect days for after work date.
Yeah.
And just getting drinks at happy hour
and then
or
your
something.
Friday is open to listen to the Holy Hour.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or you can listen to the Holy Hour on your way home if you subscribe to us on Patreon on your Thursday date. Always be closing, baby. ABC.
I think that's all I can think of right now.
Me too. I think that that's all good advice.
I have a friend who like he recently got divorced and like he was kind of trying to get back into the dating scene and he started spiraling a little bit about like a girl he had just started talking to. And then I was like, you're overthinking it, bud.
Yeah.
Like, I know that you're just a little stressed because you don't know what you're doing. But just don't overthink it. And like, you don't need to be talking all the time.
Yeah.
Just see her in person.
Yeah.
And things will kind of happen naturally.
And don't,
especially in your 30s. Like,
yeah,
I think women in their 30s are a little, even like mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
Are just like, yeah, I don't want to be texting you all day.
Totally. It's also like a good piece of advice would be to like, don't build castles in the sky.
Yeah.
Like, don't like put all of your weight on this one person that you're having a really good conversation with, because that's a really good way to let down.
Yeah, if you find yourself getting too attached really quickly, a good way to balance that out is to start talking to another person. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but like you need to balance yourself out, because it's so easy to get so in your head when you're like in the early stages of dating people.
Yes.
Especially if you really like someone.
Yes. Ugh.
Exhausting.
Fill that roster.
Yeah, fill your roster.
Fill the stable.
We haven't
with those
talked
horses.
Like this in a minute.
I know, this was like episode 2, Jordan. Yeah. But anyway, hope that helps. That was a long conversation. We just talked about that for 30 minutes. Wow. I don't know if I'll keep all of it, but
I'm sure you're probably not. You can narrow it down to the highlights.
It also felt like good advice.
Yeah, we're really smart.
We're like, we don't give bad advice. Everything
never
we say
have. I've only hits. Given banger advice.
And that's why we have a podcast. Not everybody has a podcast.
Before I like after dinner, when I was like getting ready to leave, Mr. Liz was like, what percentage of podcasts do you think are just like people who just like to hear the sound of their own voice? And I was like, oh, most.
Yeah.
Most podcasts.
At least 95%.
Like, even like celebrities. And I was like, especially celebrities.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I'm like, I think he means like podcasts that also don't do well.
Oh.
And
95%, I would say.
Yeah.
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 That feels like conservative. Anyway, should we like say bye?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. Well, we love you.
Our children.
That was all. I need y'all to know that was Liz. I feel like a proud parent.
You were conducting me.
That was beautiful.
I am thinking, though, I think we need to start speeding it up. Like speeding up instead of drawing out. And not because I think it's too long. It's because I think it'll give us more opportunities to play with it, to be creative. maybe we can start assigning genres.
I think this might be our first fight.
To experiment with. You don't, ooh, wouldn't that
do
be fun?
I like a genre.
Yeah.
Ooh, genre. We should
I'm
have a
learn
hat.
How to beatbox.
We should have a hat,
ooh,
with different
and we can
genres
pick up the genre
for that close. I okay. like this. I like okay. this. Okay, okay, okay. All right. Send us a genre. We only know so many.
Love okay. you.
I miss you already. Bye.